Support for GLT comes from Wendell Niepagan Greenhouses, the place to go for things that grow. Proud sponsor of the Dean of Green on GLT. Open 7 days a week on Fox Creek Road in Bloomington or anytime at niepagans.com. NIEPAGENS.com. This is GLT.
Whoever said go big or go home overlooked one thing, the pure delight of miniature gardens. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field, from the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences. There he is. It's Patrick Murphy. Hey,
Murph. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Yes, Happy New Year to you. And today on GLT's Grow, we're talking miniature gardens and how to create them. And by we, I mean myself and Murph and Jennifer Doggett from Niepagan Greenhouses and Garden Center in Bloomington.
Welcome.
Hey, Jennifer.
Hey.
Glad to have you here because we are very interested in talking about miniature gardens. Now, tell us, give us a definition. What is a miniature garden? I mean, is it literally teeny tiny plants?
It is. And miniature gardening, actually, they have finally come up with a definition for it, but it's actually taking what you would see on a bigger landscape and shrinking it down to enjoy in a miniature form. So dwarf plants, smaller scale structures.
So it's a little bit like a landscape diorama.
Oh. It is.
Right? Model trains without the model trains.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. But you could incorporate model trains if you like.
Yes, and many people do.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, I love it.
That would be a really fun idea.
It is.
Well, why is miniature gardening so appealing, Jennifer?
You know, I think a lot of it is people who have small yards or people who are apartment dwellers, the elderly, disabled. It makes such a perfect way for them to have that sense of gardening, uh-huh, but on that nice small scale.
So you're basically doing it in a container. Is that right, you guys?
You can. You can do it in a container, but I do have customers who actually devote some of their yard to miniature gardening.
Oh, wow.
So, go ahead.
I've seen restaurants and resorts and stuff that had the little train sets in them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always curious as to how they got the little tiny trees and the little tiny shrubs. We can buy those, right, to add those in there?
Yeah. Is it difficult to find plants for miniature gardens?
You know, there's a lot of resources available now because it is such a popular form of gardening. And so you can find a lot of dwarf plants, a lot of compact ground covers that work beautifully in the gardens.
Okay, let's get some examples. What are some good dwarf or teeny tiny compact ground covers? I'm very curious about that.
Sure, there are some Mondo grasses. There's some miniature crane's bills. There's some miniature ajugas like blue chip, mm, and some miniature thyme, which is neat because then you also get some good fragrance
cool,
your miniature garden as well.
Okay, but how about things like woody plants? I mean, when we're talking miniature and dwarf things, how miniature are we talking here? Because I'm just seeing like a big blue spruce shrunk down, but is that even possible?
Yes, it is, because your dwarf plants are going to be slow growing. So they might achieve a growth of maybe 1 to 2 feet, but it's going to be over a 10 to 15 year period.
Huh. A 10 to 15 year period.
Yes.
So basically you have to maybe adjust for that when you're designing, Murph, do you think?
Yeah, I think you would, but I think also I was fortunate enough to purchase some of these miniature plants from Jennifer at Niepagan's.
Mm-hmm.
And one was a ginkgo. It was a miniature ginkgo. And it reminded me a little bit about our talks about maymay and bonsai, because
mm-hmm,
these,
yes,
miniatures are being grown and offered for sale in smaller pots. And oftentimes it has a dwarfing effect on whatever is in there. So I think it's interesting that Jennifer's inventory includes things that we all like to see in our regular ground level landscaping. So, you know, this is a good way for the frustrated world dictator to exercise their own creation of society in the world with a miniature garden.
You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. This week, we're sweating the small stuff as we focus on miniature gardens. And is it popular, Jennifer, to have maybe themes?
Yes, it is. Actually, I have one client who comes in, and she has an outdoor miniature garden, but she has different areas of it designated and named after her grandchildren.
Oh, that's adorable.
So grandkids come over, spend time with grandma out in the miniature garden, and they play in their little respective area of the full garden.
What a great way to get kids interested in gardening, because they're already invested in it because it's been named after them.
Exactly.
It sounds like a great way to do something indoors, too, during our very long winter.
Oh, my, yes.
Help us stave off the cabin fever.
It is. In fact, I have a customer, they're a couple, and they actually converted the area of their picture window into a whole miniature garden area. And so that's something they work on through the winter months and enjoy year-round.
So that reminds me of the care related to the garden. So for this household that has a picture window that they've repurposed for their displaying their tiny garden, is it important that it's south and west exposure, kind of like some of our sunny house plants, or does it really depend on the plant material?
It does depend on the plant material, because you want to choose plants that will translate well indoors as well as outdoors, and also, you know, lighting requirements, moisture requirements, and we have to understand our houses are drier, especially during the winter months, so adjusting for that. The other thing, you know, if we're talking about outdoor miniature gardening, finding plants that are perfect for our zone. That's important too. And again, rule of thumb, you don't want to put a succulent next to a fern, because your thirsty fern is going to drown out your succulent.
Really? That is a good tip, actually. And they would look very good, I think, in a miniature garden. Now, what about other things besides plants? Things that we can add into the garden to decorate it?
Sure. You know, when you create a miniature garden, it is very similar to landscaping. You're going to start with your structures. Maybe it's a miniature house, a shed. So your structures, your patios, your pathways, you want to get those figured out first.
Ah, okay.
And
so
then,
to get your architecture set.
Yes, absolutely. And then take those focal plants, your main plants, and get those planted in. And then finish off with other plants or your preserved mosses to give that finished look.
Oh, mosses.
Yes. Some beautiful ones out there, colored mosses that are really neat.
Wait a minute. There's colored moss in the world?
It's preserved. So it's actual moss that had been live moss that they have colorized.
Oh.
And yes, so it makes really some neat landscape structure in your miniature garden.
That would be fun if you were doing like maybe a fairy garden or a Barbie garden.
Oh, you
like
know, that's
Barbie's,
a great idea.
Barbie's, you
yes.
know, dream garden.
Yes. Yeah.
Just a thought.
But yeah, and so that's very, very great way to use that. And then, you know, add in all of those smaller elements, whether it's animals, tables, chairs, little fairies.
Yes. So. Little fairies indeed.
Yes.
So if I wanted to get started, and let's say I've got a brown thumb, and it's no secret, I do. Do you guys ever offer classes, you know, like garden centers like Nipagan? Do you ever offer classes in this sort of thing?
We absolutely do. And from classes, also, I'm always willing to do one-on-one for people if they're unable to attend one of our classes.
Ah.
So, you know, we'll be having our classes out on our website in the near future. If folks want to check the Nipagan website, that would be great.
I recommend people go to Nipagan's and check the material out.
Yes.
It's very inspiring. You can kind of see the little benches and the little items that you could turn into a small world of your own there. That would inspire some creativity in many people, I'm sure.
Yeah, if you don't have any idea about what kind of a theme, just go and, you know, this is my motto. Just go shopping. You'll find something that will get you thinking about what you want to do. And Jennifer, just real quickly, what's your favorite theme for a miniature garden?
You know, one of the favorites that I have done has been a farm scene. And that's from my childhood. You know, growing up, we had a little farm, and so it brings back good memories.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us today, Jennifer.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. And you know, Murph, thank you so much for making room in the garden today for a visitor. And I think miniature gardens are a great way to go. Next week, ice, great for cocktails, bad for trees. Murph has advice on winter's cruelest weapon. And if you've got a gardening question or problem you'd like Murph to tackle, go to our website and submit that there. It's wglt.org/grow.